Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this day, this Sunday morning, this Lord's Day, giving God thanks that he has awakened us this morning to be able to be here in this place to worship God's holy, holy name. We give you thanks that you're all here this morning and offer you a hearty welcome this morning. Good seeing everyone. We are reminded again that we are gathered here this morning as God's people, and we give God thanks that we do have this time to come together to worship, to praise God, even as we recognize that there are many people around the world who are not afforded this privilege. So we do give God thanks for that this morning. Just want to remind everyone, I'm glad to see everyone here at this time. I know that the daylight saving time kind of caught me by surprise a little bit, but glad that I was here early, and glad to see that all of you are here, that you didn't come too early, but you are here this morning at the right time, and we give God thanks for that. I just would remind everyone to please take the time to make sure that you are reading all of the bulletin, as well as going to our web page and our Facebook page to stay abreast of all the things that are happening here at the Alney Presbyterian Church. As you know, we are coming up on the end of the church year. There's a lot of things that will transpire here at the end of the church year. We will be having our combined deacon and session meeting and our congregational meeting, which is scheduled for December the 12th. But all of that information will be on our web page, so please stay abreast by reading your bulletin and also by going to our web page so that you will be reminded and apprised of all that is going on here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Our the Old Testament reading is from Psalm 146. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Put not your trust in princes, son of man, in whom there is no hope. When his breath departs, he returns to his earth. On the very day, his plans perish. Happy is he whose help is of the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets his prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. By the way of the wicked, he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, thy God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 12, verse 38 through 44. And in his teaching he said, beware of the scribes, who like to go about in long robes and have salutations in the marketplace, and the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at the feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for the pretense make long prayers, they will receive the greater condemnation. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the multitude putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. And the poor widow came and put in 2 copper coins, which made a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow who has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, her whole living. This is the word of the Lord.
I think we preachers can sometimes be quite manipulating, particularly when it comes to money. I think we all know that. In some ways, we've heard stories of pastors and preachers who seem to be all about the money, all about finances and soliciting money. Not that that's not important, it is, but we can sometimes be quite manipulative. I remember a church I once belonged to many, many years ago, where the preacher would have the congregation to raise their giving envelopes in the air. And then he would have them to wave it back and forth before having everyone to come up single file to the front of the church to place their offerings in the collection plate. The object, of course, was to create a public display so that everyone would see who gives, and everyone would feel compelled to give, because no one wanted to be seen not waving their envelope in the air. I, of course, very much disdain that little exercise in manipulation, even as I understood what the preacher was trying to do. He was trying to cultivate a habit of regular giving among God's people, which, of course, is very important. It is important. Antics aside, it is important for God's people to give. It's important for a spirit of giving to be cultivated, not least because Jesus is watching. Jesus is watching what we do with our money. Jesus is watching how we give. And perhaps you're saying to this morning, well, Pastor, that sounds a bit manipulative to me, you stating that Jesus is watching us. And maybe it is, but it is nonetheless true, at least this morning. That's what we are told, is that Jesus is watching. He is watching how much we give. He is at the temple this morning, and he is watching as people come forth in the temple precincts and they are making their offering to the temple treasury. Apparently, inside of the precincts of the temple courtyards, there were a number of large trumpet-shaped chests located along the walls of the outer temple court. People would come and they would place their offering in one of the chests. They didn't have paper money at that time, of course. What they had was coins. So you could hear when people made their offering, it made quite a noise, depending on how much you put in to these trumpet-shaped chests. For those who put in a lot of money, it would make a great sound, a great musical sound. And for those who put in very little, it wouldn't make any noise at all, or at least not enough noise that would capture the attention of anyone. So you can imagine how it was when people came and they put a lot of money in and it made a big sound and everybody would turn and look and see who the benefactor was, and must have been wonderful thing to behold if you were someone who could put in a lot of coinage into the temple treasury. So Jesus is watching. He's watching as people come forward. Some people come and they put in a lot. They got a lot of money to put in. They can offer a lot. We often like those kinds of people who contribute a lot. We preachers like those kinds of people. I was talking to a couple of colleagues of mine this week, and they were commenting on this particular text, and they were talking about some of the people in their congregations. They belong to these big steeple churches, I guess, and they have you know, a few people who can contribute a lot, a great deal to the ministry of the church. And they were saying that it's both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing that they have people who can write out these big checks. They were saying this also has its problems. They often have to tiptoe. They don't want to say anything that make people angry or mad, and want to make sure that they keep those people around. So they often, you know, have to walk on pins and needles sometimes. But that's the way it is. Maybe that's the way it was with the people who came into the courtyard, the temple courtyard in Jesus' day. He's watching. He's watching as people come with all kinds of money. Some put it in. Some people who put it in have a lot, and some people may not have quite as much. And maybe some people just have a very little to put in. That's what Jesus sees as he's there in the temple courtyard. A lady comes forward, an elderly lady comes forward, and she makes her contribution. She doesn't have a whole lot, just a few coins. I said that this woman was an elderly lady. She was a widow, but I said she was an elderly lady, but we don't really know. One could be a widow at 19, or one could be a widow at 99. We really don't know. But the point here is that to be a widow was to be vulnerable. To be a woman without a husband during that time usually meant that you were impoverished. It usually meant that you were living on the margins of life. It usually meant that you didn't have a whole lot. It usually meant that you were in a struggle to survive. So the Bible always talks about looking after orphans and widows. But there Jesus is. He's in the courtyard, in the temple, near the treasury, and he sees this little widow lady coming forward. And she comes to the temple and she puts in her two small coins. Doesn't make any noise. Nobody probably even notices her. But Jesus is watching. And he is watching as she puts in all that she has. And Jesus makes an interesting observation. He says, this woman has put in, percentage-wise, more than anyone else. She only put in two small coins, not a whole lot of money by any means. There's lots of people who put in way more, but Jesus says this woman has put in more than anyone else. She's put in a larger percentage because she has put in all that she has. She has given her whole livelihood to the temple treasury. Every time I read this story, I can't help but to think of Osceola McCarty. We've had occasion to talk about her before. We just want to talk about her a little bit here this morning. She was not a widow, Osceola. She never married. Never had any children of her own, never even owned a car. She was born in Hattiesburg, Mississippi in 1908. She dropped out of school in order to take a job washing clothes. She was a laundress or a washerwoman. And that's what she did all of her life. She washed people's clothes. She made their clothes clean. She washed people's clothes so that they could attend parties, washed people's clothes so that they could attend weddings, washed people's clothes so that they could attend banquets and weddings and parties that she would never be invited to, but she washed the clothes and made them new. She didn't mind the work. It was hard work. She didn't mind it. She was just grateful to have a job in her day, to have a job in rural Mississippi, especially for a black woman, was a big deal. And so she was just happy to have a job. She was just felt blessed that she had a job. And so that's what she did. For her whole life, she washed people's clothes. She retired at the age of 87 after a lifetime of work. And when she retired, it was discovered that she had saved a considerable amount of money. She saved about $280,000. During all of that time, she never spent a whole lot of money on herself. Never really went out to eat at any restaurants. Never brought herself any frillies. Never was tempted in our consumer-oriented society that does its best to get us to part with our money by buying frivolous things. She never did any of that. She just took her money and she saved it. And so when she retired, she had amassed quite a little sum, the bulk of which she donated. She gave away to students needing financial assistance at the university, Southern University of Mississippi, in her hometown. She said that she always wanted to go to school, but she never had time. She was just so busy, and so she gave the bulk of all the money that she had saved over her life. She gave it away so that people could go realize their dream of going to college. Now, the money she gave away, of course, was a considerable sum, but in the overall scheme of things, you know, $200,000 is not that big of a sum. I know people who make three times that much in a year. But this was all that she had. This was her lifetime's savings, all that she had. Osceola McCarty, she gave all that she had. Talk about stewardship. This is, of course, the time of year that is considered to be stewardship season. And churches are going all out during this season, usually with pledge drives and other campaigns, and not just churches, but I've noticed that there's a lot of stewardship campaigns going on. I was listening to the radio, public radio station, and they had a pledge drive going on. I was down at the Starbucks, and I noticed that there were some kids out in front of Starbucks, and they had cans, and they were soliciting funds for some kind of charitable event benefiting children. So this is the time of year when everyone is thinking about stewardship and thinking about pledge drives. This is the time of year when people are thinking about money. And so every 3 years, the lectionary offers us this story of the widow coming to the treasury to deposit her 2 cents. And as a pastor, I have to admit that I've always been just a little apprehensive about using this story, not least because of what Jesus has to say about those in long robes and those who pray in public spaces. I'm sure you've noticed this morning that I have on a long robe, and praying publicly is part of the trade of being a pastor. And so I've always been a bit apprehensive about this particular story, being particularly sensitive to the warning that Jesus gives up. But Jesus, of course, is warning his disciples about the scribes. Beware of the scribes, he says. They're the ones who like to wear long robes and who like the places of honor. Jesus says, beware of the scribes. But it's important to understand that the scribes in Jesus' day were not comparable to what preachers are today. Scribes were not preachers. They were not just religious leaders. Scribes were akin to what today might be lawyers in our day. Scribes were those who were responsible for the maintenance of the temple season. They were temple functionaries. When we talk about the temple, of course, the temple was not just a place to come and worship. It was not just a religious place. The temple was more akin to what City Hall is in a thriving metropolis. The temple was a place where records were kept. The temple was a place where the debts were recorded. The temple was kind of the center of the social and the political and the economic life of God's people. And so the scribes were not just religious figures, but they were lawyers, they were functionaries, they were the custodians of the temple seasons, of the temple system. And Jesus is saying, beware. Beware of the custodians of the system. Beware of those who have responsibility for maintaining the institutions, because more often than not, there are times when those who are the most vulnerable are taken advantage of. The scribes, he says, devour widows' houses. And right after he says that, he sees the widow coming to the treasury, putting in all that she has. Jesus is wanting us to know that the measure of any institution, whether it is a church, whether it is a government, whatever it might be, that the measure of any institution is not how well you take care of the people who are at the top of that institution. It's not how well you take care of those who are the best situated. That the measure of any institution is how well you take care of those who are the most vulnerable in that institution. How well you take care of those who are comparable to the orphans and the widows in Jesus' day. It's interesting that in the pericope following what we read this morning, as they are leaving the temple, Jesus' disciples say, Lord, have you seen? Look at the temple. Look how beautiful it is. Look at this big, beautiful temple that's been 40 years in the making. Isn't this temple beautiful? And Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. Because when institutions are built upon the backs of the most vulnerable, those institutions won't be around for long, because Jesus sees. Jesus is watching. Jesus sees what we do with our money. He sees what we do with our resources. He sees how we treat the most vulnerable. So this woman is not necessarily being lifted up by Jesus as an example of giving. Jesus doesn't say what many of us preachers say after we read this story, therefore go forth and be like this widow. He is simply pointing out that this widow is often a victim. But having said all that, it is still true that giving is important. It's important because Jesus is watching. He is watching how we give. Jesus says more about our relationship with money than he says about anything else. He says more about what we do with our money, certainly, than he says about sex. I always find it interesting today that we don't have big debates about money and our perverted and adulterous use of money. We don't ever have big arguments about that. We don't ever have big arguments about money. Which ought to tell you something. It is indicative of the grip and the power that money has over our hearts, the grip and power that money has in our lives. We equate life with money. And so Jesus was constantly talking about money, about what we do with our money, what we do with our resources. And that's why giving is important. Because one of the things that Jesus is doing is wanting to break that hold, that adulterous hold of money in our lives. Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart is also. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants access to our heart. So Jesus had a great deal to say about money and giving, because giving is important. Many of you know that for the last several months we had kind of a reduced worship service. We cut out some of the things in our worship service in order to shorten it because of the COVID-19 pandemic. We wanted to make sure that we weren't being too long, so there were some items in our liturgy that we kind of cut out. And one of the things that we cut out was the offertory. We didn't have really an offertory. What we did is we placed the collection plates at the doorways and in front of the pulpit area when we were in the chapel. And you know, thanks be to God, the people of this congregation, as they so often do, gave. They didn't have to be prompted to give, didn't have to be reminded to give. People gave, and not only the people who were here, but even people who were not here because of the pandemic. People have been faithful in their giving in so many ways, and we give God thanks for that faithfulness, not just in the giving of resources, but in the giving of time and other ways. People give in so many ways. But we had the collection plates there as part of the worship service. And someone came up to me one time and said, one of our members, and said, you know, we should pray over the offering. And I never had thought about it. I didn't give it a whole lot of thought. The offertory, I just didn't give it a whole lot of thought. But after thinking about it, they were absolutely right. We should pray over the offering, because offerings are very important. The offering is not just an adjunct that we stick on to worship. It's not just an interruption of worship, but the offering is important because it is a part of the worship itself. The offering is one of the ways that we worship God. We worship God with our tithes and our offerings. We take up an offering not just to fund some of the activities of the church. It's not just there so that we, you know, supply funds for the ministries of the church. It's not just there because we want to keep the lights on. It's not just there to fund the operations of the church. We have an offering because it's one of the ways that we indicate our commitment to God. It's about worship. It's about how we worship God. I agree with the late William Stringfellow, who said that the offering is sacramental. And what he meant by that was that it's a visible reality of a bigger truth, a bigger reality, and that reality is that we belong to God, all of us. All of our life belongs to God. Nothing that we have does not belong to God. Everything that we have belongs to God. And what better way to show that than the offering, than what we do with our money? Because we live in a world where money has such a powerful grip over our hearts and our imaginations. Again, we equate money with life. We're constantly grappling after it, constantly wanting to have more of it. We can never have enough, always looking to have more and more money. People do all kinds of things in order to get more money. If we could just have more, if we could just have more money. But we're reminded this morning that we are called to live as a different kind of people. We're called to live not as a people who are constantly grappling after more money, but we are called to be a people who give. Our use of money ought to be sacramental in the sense that it bears witness to the new way that God has ordered the world. Ordered it not in a way where we are constantly anxious about what we don't have, constantly anxious about getting more, but ordered in a way that we recognize that the grace of God, and that our lives belong to God, and so that we are called to give. To give our very lives to God in the coming of God's kingdom. So this morning I don't want to abuse this widow in the story the way we preachers sometimes abuse her. I don't want to exploit her. I don't want to make her an example of our need to give. But this morning I want to thank her. I want to say thank you to her. And thank you to people like Osceola McCarty. And thank you for all of you who give in so many ways, who give all that you have because you recognize that your life belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Thank you for all that you give. And may we continue to open our hearts and our minds. May we continue to give our resources, our time, our talents. Because Jesus is watching. He is watching to see what we do with what God has blessed us.